Whether you're feeling happy, sad, mad, or glad, it never hurts to change it up. Tired of the rut you're stuck in but don't know what to do? Change it up! Life transitions expert, speaker, and best-selling author Paula Shaw will be leading the charge each week, exploring topics that inspire men and women to welcome change and create a new kind of conversation. Join a movement that encourages truth, respect, innovation, and cooperation at home, in the workplace, and around the world. Ready to change it up? Here's your host, Paula Shaw.
Welcome to Change It Up with Paula Shaw. We are so delighted to have you here. Change It Up Radio is a show really for everyday men and women like you and me to help us get out of our ruts and embrace change, because all growth happens outside of our comfort zones. And sometimes it feels like the only constant is change. So learning to embrace it and accept it, I think, makes for a happier people and a happier life. So let's do it together. Today, we're going to be talking about a new twist on the 12 steps. Talk about somebody who has embraced change and gotten out of her comfort zone. We're going to be talking today with Dr. Jane Galloway, who's found new ways to improve the success rates for people who are recovering from addiction. This is a huge problem in our country right now. I mean, everybody's talking about the opioid addiction and how many thousands and thousands of people are hooked on everyday painkillers. And that's only one piece of this whole addiction picture. Just recently, I was reading an article on smartphone addiction. This is huge. It is absolutely huge that smartphones, with all the little pings and bells and whistles and all of that, have actually been geared to addict us. And we're like little mice in the maze, you know, or rats in the maze. A certain kind of ping goes off and you're conditioned to have to check your phone. Another kind of ping goes off and you know that's your email. And what happens is it tunes into the part of the brain that's anticipating that maybe something wonderful is on the other end of that ping, whether it's a really special text or some great thing that's coming your way. We get addicted to something that might be. It's a kind of a state of anticipatory pleasure. And in my work in addictive disorders, which I've been doing for the last 26 years now, you know, as most of you know, I work with people in life transitions, whether it's loss, whether it's addiction, whether it's people who are dealing with health status that has gone awry, or a relationship that's gone awry. Change and the loss and the grief that come with it are always hard for humans to deal with. And sometimes what happens is we feel so overwhelmed by that emotional pain, we seek out either something or an experience to soothe the pain, to take the edge off. And sometimes it's something we consciously seek. Perhaps, you know, how many people have the story of always having this kind of emotional, psychic pain all their lives, and then they went to a party and took that first drink or their first hit of marijuana, and suddenly things got a little different, a little easier, and so they went back to the experience again. But as we're learning about addiction today, you know, there's never the same experience, never the same level of high as that first high. And interestingly enough, I've been at the Energy Psychology Conference over the weekend, and I happened to be reading about addiction on the airplane as I was flying to Florida. And of course, I think many of us know that you have an experience, whether you get that experience from a video game, a drink, a drug, whatever it is, that there's a certain level of high or comfort you get to, and you want to go there again. But the next time it takes a little more of the experience to go there, because eventually the pleasure center in the brain gets dulled to that particular vehicle. And so you start going on higher and higher levels, taking in more and more of the substance or doing more and more of the behavior. And this is when something that might have begun as harmless can get really out of control. I was just talking for a moment about smartphones, which is truly an addiction people are concerned with. We all know that internet porn addiction is something that has grown in recent years that actually didn't even exist when I was a child. There's so much in life that calls us because it offers either an escape or a shift in your energy or your experience. And that shift can become so seductive that it begins to prioritize anything else in your life. And Dr. Jane Galloway, who is with us today, wrote a book called Gateways, The Wisdom of 12-Step Spirituality. And one of the reasons I've been so excited about having Dr. Jane on the show is because when I first began my work, my original training is in addictive disorders, and I have my certification through KDAC and did all that training through them. And when I first was doing my work, I, like everybody else, I was very idealistic, and I thought, oh, I am going to make such a difference, and the recovery rate is going to go way up. The recovery rate when I first was doing my training back in the early 80s, 1 out of 10 people that went into recovery was having success. 1 out of 10. That is a really, really sad recovery rate, in my opinion. And it has gotten a little bit better, but not that much better. And back then, I started looking at why. What's going on here? What is the piece that's missing? Well, one of the things that I looked at was grief, because I was always very interested in the experience of loss and the grief that resulted from it and how that impacted people's lives. So I actually, at one point in time, wrote a proposal for a program to the National Alcohol Council, and I called it Grief Work, the Missing Piece of the Recovery Puzzle. And nothing much happened with it. They didn't jump right on it, as I hoped they would, and thinking that, oh my goodness, this is the missing answer. But when I read Dr. Jane Galloway's book and saw how she has incorporated these gateways, which to me, the gateways, and of course I want her to talk more about this, but what she's come up with is the same idea that occurred to me back then. We have to create ways to make living more viable, easier, and more meaningful, because we can't ask somebody to give up a substance that gave them some level of comfort and then just send them raw out into this world that they have no ideas about how to cope with. So we have to offer them alternatives. We have to offer them something that helps make that journey smoother. And I really feel that Dr. Jane Galloway has come up with a really fabulous, very viable plan for people. And so I'm excited about having her share that with us in just a few minutes. But one of the other commitments that I made since I came back from the Energy Psychology Conference is that on every show, I want to share with you a method to help shift your energy, shift your reality to a better state. Because we have those methods in mind-body work and in energy psychology, energy medicine. We have those methods, and I want to share them with you. So the one I want to share with you today is called Balanced Breathing. And if you would like to see a video of me doing this, you can go to my YouTube channel, Paula Shaw Counseling, and look at the video on balanced breathing. Because, of course, you can't see me as I do this, but I'm going to try to describe it to you. Balanced breathing combines an ancient yoga posture and a breathing method. And it's truly one of my favorite methods for shifting your energy. It's almost like hitting the restart button, even if you only do it for a minute or two. So what you do is you sit with your ankles crossed, not your knees, but your ankles. And then I'm going to give you the simple version. You can just cross your hands over your chest so that the fingers of, let's say, the right hand are now at the shoulders of the left shoulder. So fingers of the right hand on left shoulder and vice versa, and ankles crossed. So what the reason we're doing this with our body is it's about as close as we can get to looking like the infinity sign or the figure eight. And that's the natural way that energy flows when it's flowing correctly. So then we're going to do a breath. And the breath is breathing in through the nose with the tip of the tongue on the roof of the mouth. And then when you release the breath, you release it from the mouth, letting the tongue rest again on the floor of the mouth. So again, sitting with ankles crossed, hands crossed across the upper chest, or arms crossed across the upper chest. And on the in-breath, breathe in through the nose, tip of the tongue on the roof of the mouth. And on the out-breath, release through the mouth, with the tongue again resting on the floor of the mouth. I like to do this with my eyes closed. And as you do it, just focus on feeling balanced, centered, grounded, calm. Just knowing that all is well, that right here, right now, is all that's real. And right here, right now, all you need to do is breathe in through the nose, tip of the tongue on the roof of the mouth, and release through the mouth, tongue resting on the floor of the mouth. Sometimes even doing this for 2 minutes can make an amazing shift in how you feel. So try balanced breathing, and remember, it's cumulative. So the more you do it, the more quickly and easily it will shift your energy state anytime, anywhere. Having just been on an airplane this weekend, I can tell you I did it many times in the course of travel. So in just a minute, we're going to bring Dr. Jane Galloway on, and she's going to share with us some really amazing insights about recovery. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Change It Up with Paula Shaw on AM 1170, The Answer.
Change it. Turn and face the strain. Change it.
Now, more than ever, it's important for women to understand why they need a financial strategy. Women tend to make less money than men, live longer, and face more financial challenges during retirement. Hi, I'm Sherry Blair. With evolving roles and increasing responsibilities, women are seeking out ways to become more knowledgeable about their finances. My life's work has been to empower women to make good financial decisions today to help ensure you have a bright future tomorrow. I'm here to help you learn more and to become more. Give me a call for your free no-obligation consultation or a second opinion at 619-997-0416. 619-997-0416. That's 619-997-0416.
Sherry Blair is registered with and securities are offered through Broker International Financial Services, LLC, member SIPC. Broker International Financial Services, LLC is not an affiliated company. California license number 0B42369.
For those looking to improve their lives, there's nobody better to turn to than Paula Shaw. Paula helps people regain successful lives by identifying and eliminating self-sabotaging behavior using a multitude of mind-body techniques to identify and resolve their core issues. Working with a wide variety of healing modalities, she provides her clients with the most effective process for their specific needs. To book a session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
Welcome back to Change It Up with Paula Shaw. And as promised, I am going to introduce you in this segment to Dr. Jane Galloway, who is a visionary leader and recovery educator. From California to the urban center of New York City, she is a leader redefining spiritual community. She's led communities in New York City and Los Angeles and is the founder of TRIBE, T-R-I-B-E, which stands for Transformation, Realization, Inspiration, Belonging, and Expression. As a longtime person in recovery, Dr. Jane has developed a real appreciation for the spiritual depth of the 12 steps as a spine for a developmental, evolutionary, interspiritual path. And I love this. I love this. So her book, The Gateways, Wisdom of the 12-Step Spirituality, incorporates a psycho-spiritual system from depth psychology, world religious traditions, mind-body healing modalities, and indigenous wisdom. She's put together something here like nothing I've ever seen. And I'm so excited to have Jane because she kind of took an approach to recovery like I did to grief in my grief book, you know, which is bringing together so many different modalities to help create a life that has a spiritual core and meaning and purpose. So Dr. Jane, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, thank you, Paula. I'm so happy to be here.
And I didn't mention that you actually are a former, are you still an actor?
Well, you know, I don't think you're ever not an actor. I was an actress for 30 years. And I know your family is, you know, has some experience in that industry too.
Yes.
I'm actually working right now on a one-person piece I put aside before I did the book. So I think my aspiration is to perform that, to talk about growing up in Jim Crow, St. Louis, and then a lot of different things I put together because I've done a lot of cross-cultural living, and I'm interested in doing this piece as a vehicle to get conversations going across cultural divides. So I will be performing. I don't think you ever stop performing if you're an actor, and that's it's our superpower, kind of, you know. So, I was a pastor for 15 years and I preached every Sunday. So people would say, do you ever miss acting? I was like, I never quit.
That's right. You know? That's right.
I have to rehearse it, perform it.
You know, Jane, you just mentioned something about growing up that reminded me of something I read in your book that I'd love to ask you about. You said you talked about growing up with this situation of alcoholism affecting your life. And then you said some of the untreated family system rules are don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. And dysfunctional communication patterns are passed down through generations. These behaviors constitute the ism of alcoholism, and one can have the ism without ever taking a drink or a drug.
Yep.
Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. So, wow, what a recipe. I really see how all those things, feeling those things or believing that, kills communication on any kind of meaningful level, right?
Well, yeah, and the thing is, we become kind of, I used to tap dance around my father, whom I adored, but he had kind of a quick anger trigger, and I think we learn different communication patterns, but we become hypersensitive, hypervigilant, and we're always trying to kind of figure out, you know, how to avoid the next minefield, so there's a lot of walking on eggshells. We learn alternative communication skills, but we can't talk about just what's going on in the moment and very easily without we learn how to say, whoops, that was not a good, you know, they've done all these studies with mice and et cetera, you know, giving a treat and then giving a shock and giving a treat and then a shock. And that was the beginning of, I guess, called operant conditioning, you know, with B.F. Skinner, about whom there is a lot of controversy, with which I agree. But he really did this stuff saying, you know, people respond to these triggers, and you were talking earlier, and then they act accordingly. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if there's a treat, if there's sugar water, we're going to go for that. But if there's sugar water, shock, eventually, and usually more quickly than not, we'll go, no, that sugar water leads to that shock.
Yes.
So I'm not going there. But so I think it was interesting what you were talking about earlier with the, I love that segment talking about cell phones and all of this, because what we've learned through the many years of research and, of course, continuing research on what addiction even does is that we produce these chemicals ourselves.
Right.
We don't even have to. Yeah. So when, some of us were less creative and had to find a drug or a behavior, but But people, when I walked into Al-Anon, I was like, wow, these people are samurai at this, because, you know, a lot of people don't drink or take any drugs who are part of the ism.
Right.
But really know how to, well, you know, we get zapped with adrenaline. And so that cell phone thing is, we get that pleasure endorphin that goes through that anticipatory thing you were talking about, goes zapping through our brain, picking up the cell phone. And, you know, if it's better more often than it's not, then we'll keep going back for it.
Yes.
It is a very addictive kind of thing.
Hugely.
You know, I don't know how I would live without my cell phone. I'm talking, you know, my smartphone. I'm talking to you on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, as with any of these things, you know, there are great uses for them. So, yeah. But so my family system was one in which nobody drank. Now, later, my stepfather began to, you know, he kind of, you know, began to drink after I had gone to college. And so there was an incipient, I think, you know, substance abuse situation there as I was growing up. But my father was sober in AA. My grandmother was a lifetime member of the Women's Christian Temperance Union.
Oh, my.
Lips that touch liquor will never touch my... Now, that was kind of an early... That was kind of an early feminist movement, really. And that's a whole other conversation. I did some research on that in school. But, yeah, so everybody was uptight. I mean, as I have said for years, you know, everybody could have used a good drink. So, yes, but so it's the ism. But we are chemical. I remember when I was doing my studies in alcohol and drug studies, my first class of the physiological effects of alcohol and drugs, which was very scientific and kind of a little chemistry in there too. And I was, and the teacher the first day said, let me just say this, everything is hormones.
Mm.
So he was just saying, you know, we are our own little factory here. So
right.
What we have in these pills and in alcohol and all these things is an outer way of stimulating these states that we actually naturally can create. So if it becomes this thing of living in an unsafe environment, which really living in that alcoholic family or the addictive family system is,
yes.
It's not safe. It's not reliable.
Mm-mm.
So if you're living in that, then what you're used to doing is zapping yourself with chemicals all the time. And part of the challenge of recovery is that if you have mercifully discovered alcohol or drugs to do that for you, at least you had, you know, a little bit of time to not have to feel all that craziness. When we're in recovery, then we have to unlearn those patterns too.
Yes.
In order to really develop meaningful recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Or else we're just a nervous wreck all the time, which we see a lot.
So in your own experience, Jane, did you ever turn to drinking or drugs?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I have been and I'm very open about this. I have been an active member of the original 12-step program for so many years. I'm mortified to say it because now suddenly now I feel old, right? But that's another whole thing. I've been 39 years in AA.
Wow.
And I've worked Al-Anon for many years, and then I went on to study this in school. I was young when I went in the program, but not that young.
Mm-hmm.
But so the thing is, yes, and yes, is the short answer to that. So I have studied many of these processes mostly because I am somebody who wants to be part of life. I always was.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, alcohol and drugs were a great coping mechanism for me. They got me into life. My anxiety was so acute growing up in the family I grew up in that I just had to manage it. And actually, you know, so I was like a little chemist trying to keep myself calm enough. I mean, I remember, you know, I starred in a Broadway musical. I starred in my own pilot for CBS. I mean, these are not easy things to confront. And
right.
These were both when I was sober. But, you know, I had a little more challenge. I mean, I was calling people and really, you know, I've had many, many years of therapy and treatment, et cetera. But who was I calling? My people who I knew from the program, just to help me keep focus on this amazing path we have of kind of like the Zen Buddhist, chop wood, carry water. Keep focused on your primary purpose. And when I was shooting my pilot in New York at the Ed Sullivan Theater, it was a great big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I was the star, a lot of pressure on me. I was talking to a young woman who was a newcomer, and that's what kept me level. So yes, I have a long experience in the 12-step world, and in the program, and it has worked wonderfully for me. To go on a little with that, though, what I have seen is, and this is what I was making notes for years on this book that I ended up creating.
Mm-hmm.
But part of what I noticed was, and my dad, by the way, was in AA, and he loved it, and he spoke all over the country. He was so I loved AA. I just didn't think it was my thing.
Jane, I want you to be able to speak uninterrupted about the book, because I love this path you've created, but we need to go to a break. So,
oh, okay, great. Absolutely.
When we come back from that break, let's get right into what you created, because, you know, there are a lot of people who have pros and con thinking about the 12-step programs, and
yeah.
We want to know, where is this next level you've taken it to? So we will discuss that in just a moment. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Change It Up with Paula Shaw on AM 1170, The Answer.
Change it. Turn and face the strain. Change it.
When you're the victim of an accident or someone's negligence, insurance companies are not going to give you fair compensation for your injuries, damage to your property, and lost income. They actually try to minimize your claim. Don't sign anything until you talk with John Sahar and the Sahar Law Firm in Carlsbad. For over 29 years, John has done battle and has won millions of dollars in damages, medical bills, loss of earnings, and pain and suffering for his clients. John Sahar will stand toe-to-toe with the big insurance companies to make sure you get every dime the law demands, and you don't pay until John collects money on your behalf. From San Diego to LA, Santa Barbara to San Bernardino, for auto accidents, product liability, dog bites, any injury caused by another. If it brings pain and suffering, bring Sahar to the case. For a free case evaluation, call 760-683-2048. 760-683-2048. The Sahar Law Firm, fighting for you. 760-683-2048.
How confident are you that you'll have enough money to retire when the time comes? Your financial future may be at risk and you don't even know it. Hi, I'm Sherry Blair, financial advisor, and helping you meet your financial goals is important to me. Let me help you make smarter financial decisions that will keep your money safe, growing, and there when you need it. Call me for your free, no-obligation consultation or a second opinion. 619-997-0416.
Sherry Blair is registered with and securities are offered through Broker International Financial Services, LLC, member SIPC. Broker International Financial Services, LLC is not an affiliated company. California license number 0B42369.
Welcome back to Change It Up with Paula Shaw. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm on the edge of my seat because we're talking to Dr. Jane Galloway about her new book, Gateways, The Wisdom of 12-Step Spirituality. And she was just sharing with us in the last segment her own experience with being in AA, which on many levels was wonderful and did had great results for her. But she took it a step further in the creation of this new book. She's created a book that emphasizes the wisdom of 12-step spirituality through the gateways. So, Dr. Jane, tell us about what the gateways are and how this whole path works.
Okay, great. So here's how the kind of thinking began, and it started earlier in my working of the 12 steps, and I was taking notes and drawing diagrams and things for years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I actually sat down to write the book, I realized the book was pretty much written.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
You know how that goes.
Yes.
But what I noticed was, you know, in the AA literature, it says AA is a bridge back to life. And what I noticed, and I noticed it probably when I was 10 or 11 years sober, and I was very engaged in, you know, I'm an ambitious person, and I really wanted to be, as I was saying before, part of life. So I needed to keep dealing with this anxiety I had and various things. But I noticed that a lot of people seemed to get stuck on the bridge. They brought their camping gear, and they just, their whole life was sobriety, was this thing of I'm an AA member, blah, blah, blah. It became another almost addictive process.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people, I remember a woman in New York where I got sober saying to me, she said it to the meeting. She said, bottom line, grow or go, baby, grow or go.
Mm.
So I noticed a lot of people were not growing. They were kind of picking the same scab over and over again. Horrible metaphor, but you get my idea. And I also noticed in working with people, because I was a counselor for a number of years, that some people would relapse so they could go back to being a beginner. And I started realizing, wait a minute, something's not working here. When my dad was in AA, those guys, and it was mostly guys, were just grateful to die sober. I mean, mm-hmm. He had 20 years of great sobriety, but 20 years, is not a, now we look at people getting sober so much younger, and we have a whole lifetime. So we have to learn developmental skills that go beyond first level sobriety. And, so I really began to notice, okay, wait, how do we get people to grow beyond this? And years ago, I discovered developmental psychology through Jean Piaget. I was teaching preschool in New York.
And his
whole idea is really this idea of developmental stuff mm-hmm. that we have to, that children grow in stages.
Right.
And we grow in stages. And then, of course, through the years of studying for my credential, I began to experience Maslow's hierarchy of needs and Eric Erickson's 8 ages of man, et cetera, et cetera. And part of these diagrams I was doing and drawings had, I drew the steps, and then I was drawing the chakras next to the steps, because the chakras kind of start at the bottom and go upward and in our physical system. And it's an opening and opening and opening. And unless we have, as Maslow says, this foundation, we are, it's very tough to build a house on no foundation.
Yes.
So I started thinking, these are all developmental structures, the Kabbalah, Sefirot, all of these things really are, they're pictures, whether it's the Tree of Life or whether it's, I also studied the Chinese Meridian system. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of a tree that starts with a developmental base. And so I began to think about this over and over and over the years. So, and the second part of that, where you say a new approach, as a woman in recovery, I've got to say, it hasn't changed that much. It's not cool to be a woman drunk. Mm-hmm. It never was, and it never will be. And so we do all of these shenanigans to try to, figure all that out culturally. And women normally come in with slightly different issues than men do. And this is not to divide people. But the thing is, I never need to hear all that stuff people were saying when I first came in the program, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. I never need to be spoken to that way ever, mm-hmm. ever, ever, ever. I was so hurt when I came into the program and was so vulnerable. Now, I needed therapy. I needed gestalt therapy. I needed stuff to get me past my head and to help me work through some of these issues. But women have different needs, and women do not need to be bullied or battered. And
right.
I don't think men do either, but I'm really speaking from my own perspective. So I wanted to develop, the spiritual path became something that was so alive for me through attending Eric Butterworth in New York and discovering unity and metaphysics. And it was full on Sunday mornings at Avery Fisher Hall, full of people in the program too. And there were thousands of people there every week. And this really I would go there and then I'd go to do my matinee. I was in the theater for many years. So anyway, I began to discover that spiritual and metaphysical path. And I noticed that there were actually a lot of people in the program who kept saying, well, I have so much trouble with the spiritual part of the program. There's really no reason to have trouble with it. And most people have trouble with their religion of origin
right.
rather than they have with opening.
That's right.
Yeah. Because really the founders are so enlightened. They say, to us, the spiritual path is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive. Mm-hmm. We think it is open to all. That's what the founders of AA were able to channel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, there are a lot of options, but people weren't finding them. And I was really a seeker and was going to a Buddhist monastery, going to a retreat, a unity retreat, doing all these different techniques. So most of the things that I incorporate in the book are things that I actually did. So the beginning of the book, though, I really reframed the languaging of the steps, not to replace them, but to give an additional tool. And I think especially probably for women or extremely sensitive people. So I don't talk about a gendered God of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
God is bigger than that. And I don't talk in any kind of punitive terms. I think addiction, and I know it to be true, addiction is pain control. Nobody becomes addicted because they want to.
That's right.
People are trying to get away from pain. And so the combination, so a non-punitive approach to how to get into this depth path, really, it's almost like a trap door at step 11. which is, you know, the spiritual work of the program, which we then continue for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to kind of give more options, which is why I made the cover this opening into a bright new potential future. So then the third element, and this is why I'm so excited, too, about your work and your thinking. When I was brand new sober, I somehow got my hands on a publication for alcoholism counselors, because of course I wanted to be an expert right away. and this gentleman said that in his years of treating addicts and alcoholics, in his experience, every person coming in from treatment, and he said every person, was suffering from chronic unresolved grief.
Mm. Hallelujah. Somebody else saw it too.
Yes. And that was years, 1,000 years ago when I read that. And so I was so excited to hear that you were tuned into that, because that absolutely was the truth for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know is that everybody I work with, when I say this at meetings, people look shocked. And then sometimes people just burst into tears because their grief is so close to the surface.
Yes.
So what I tried to incorporate through the work, and then I put together kind of what I call a bento box of spiritual tools at
yes,
the end.
I
developed these diagrams of a very visual diagrams, honestly, because I started the book by drawing. I'm also a painter and I love color, and I wanted people to kind of have a little bit of the technicolor experience that I feel this spiritual path and this growth path can be. We don't have the option if we are affected by this ism.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have the option of going backwards. We have to keep going forward. So if we're going to go forward and deeper, let's make it a beautiful process and, you know, find new tools. I think people get very stuck because they think, oh, I got to go back to my church and, you know, the priest said this and that. But I'm offering all kinds of options for the tools. And so I offer them in the back of the book as kind of a template for how to really tangibly work the process. So that's it. So it's a non-punitive, non-gendered God way of understanding the steps. I also see this as really an amazing version of some of the paths of the great teachers, Jesus and Buddha.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, the other thing is when I read early on again, I mean, I was just voraciously trying to ingest this program because I was in so much pain, and I have a low pain tolerance, which I mean, I guess I'm glad about that. It's not, you know, I'm not super ambitious about all this stuff. I just can't take pain very well. So, and I also want to give people tools. I'm inherently a teacher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
me too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hear that. Mm-hmm. I hear that. So I just really wanted to open doors for people so that they could understand this process as a continuing process where we can actually access joy.
Yes.
Joy is not the only thing. And joy is a state that's not necessarily happiness. Right now, you know that I've had a loss of a sweet companion, our little dog, the other day, and it's been a process of just, so much sadness. And so
the
thing is, feeling grief. See, what this man said about this thing, about what he experienced, was chronic unresolved grief.
Yes.
Chronic unresolved. He didn't say don't feel grief. We must feel grief.
Yes.
The Bible even says, weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
I would add, weeping must endure for a night. And so the thing is, we're in a culture where, you know, don't feel, take 2 days off when your mother dies or something. Don't feel it. And honestly, this is how I got into initially ministry, because I went into hospice work. There was no place else in the world that would let me grieve. And my friends in the theater, I lost 25 friends to AIDS within 2 years.
Oh, my God.
And I just could not function. I couldn't function. I was just grieving. I was going to a memorial service every 5 minutes. And so, you know, so the thing is, but people were so overwhelmed by the grieving that a lot of people went back to drinking and using.
Exactly.
I learned, Jane. Yeah, so I found hospice where they really teach you about grieving and about the fact that, you know, we're given amazing tools, just even physiologically. You go in to kind of a place.
Yes.
Which I don't know what it is, but we're protected, you know.
Oh, yes. Jane, we've got to take a break, Jane. I hate to stop you because you're so wonderful. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Change It Up with Paula Shaw on AM 1170, The Answer.
Change it. Turn and face the strain. Change it.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
Welcome back to Change It Up with Paula Shaw. We have a really exciting guest with us today. If you've been listening, Dr. Jane Galloway has been talking about a new approach to recovery and some of the insights that she had that led her to actually realize that recovery has to be more than just enduring staying clean and sober. We have to be able to live it fully and enjoy it and look forward to each day. And she's come up with a great way to help people do that in her new book, The Gateways, The Wisdom of 12-Step Spirituality. So just before we go back to Dr. Jane, I wanted to mention something because she's been talking about this whole idea of making life rich, making life full. I was just reading in a special magazine over the weekend while I was on an airplane forever, that one of the ways that people have to incorporate to be able to overcome addiction is to find something new to focus on or something they're excited about. For some people, that is a spiritual experience. It's finding God, so to speak, or becoming a yogi, or discovering the joys of meditation. For other people, it's a new hobby or something new, exciting. For some people, it's a new relationship. But it's really helpful for us to find something new and exciting or fulfilling or meaningful to focus on so that we don't just stay focused on the lack of what we used to have or do to soothe our pain. So Dr. Jane, right. What do you think about that?
I think it's fantastic. And I think in this new age of neuroplasticity, we used to think that the brain couldn't develop any new neural pathways. And we've learned in the last 20 years, that's totally the opposite of the truth. And so learning something new or focusing on something new gives us different neural pathways to rely upon so we don't keep going back to the same rut. Mm-hmm. I think it makes perfect sense. And I think we have to somehow then really choose to be around growth-oriented people, ideas, et cetera. So I think it's great. And it's so simple. I love that. You know, just find something new that you're excited about.
Yes.
And we have to keep doing that.
And I think for maybe too long, the emphasis was on what you can't do, what don't do or shouldn't do anymore, right? And not on, like I loved it when you said earlier, a lot of these younger people who are coming into recovery, their lives are just starting. You know, they want to have full, rich lives. So this, what I love about what you came up with in your book was you give this path, and you know, it was really kind of exciting for me too. I corresponded the chakra system with the phases of grief that you go through, you know, starting with the root and the initial shock and the overwhelm and all of that that comes, and then the second chakra leading more to connection with others, needing that help, the third chakra having to take care of yourself, reach out. And so anyway, I went through the whole thing, and when I saw in your book how you align that with the 12 steps, I was so excited. How have we not met sooner? We definitely are thinking very much the same.
It was time. We are. We really, really are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what I love that you know, like me, you're very into tools because, you know, I realized long ago, even if you have the best session ever, your session with your therapist is like 1 hour out of the week, and there's a lot of right. other life that has to be lived. So Absolutely. We need to give people tools. We need to give them processes and ideas so that help carry them through the other parts of life. And you've
like
done that beautifully.
Body, what do you call this breathing technique you told us earlier here, this cross?
Oh, balanced breathing?
Balanced breathing. You know, first of all, that's a great tool, so I'm going to add that to my toolkit. The other thing, you know, this reminds me of the movie Black Panther. That's the symbol for Wakanda, Wakanda forever.
Yes. So
we're onto something. Isn't that cool?
Yes, and that's exactly it. You know, that crossing that heart chakra, you
yeah.
involve a lot of meridians as well as one of the most powerful chakras when you do that. Just, you can even do that. Just cross your hands over your heart chakra and breathe. That's
yeah.
incredibly calming and centering. So yeah,
yeah,
there are
beautiful.
So many things. And oh my goodness, at the conference this weekend, so much research was presented, neuroscience research and all this stuff that we're learning now about that. These ancient practices like yoga, acupuncture, you know, there was a reason. They knew that working with the energies of the body not only could heal the body of physical illness, it could heal the emotional illnesses as well.
Yes, and we heal the planet when we're in touch with that too. So
exactly.
it's even bigger. And we have,
And
yeah,
like
you
said,
interesting, go ahead.
You made a comment earlier, nobody wants to be an addict. You know, it's all about
no.
pain control. I love the way you yes. said that.
Absolutely. And so the whole judgment thing, oh, you know, she was an alcoholic. I was so happy to find something that would relieve this constant stuff in my head until I could find a place where there's actually a program to help me actually do that. So mm-hmm. nobody wants to be an addict. You know, just briefly, the thing that was so cool for me early on was reading a book called Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, where they tell about how the steps actually came to be.
Oh.
These were not something somebody wrote out. You know, what happened was they didn't know what was working, but the miracle was that the first three steps kind of formed with one person reaching out to another who mm. was going through that same experience
uh-huh.
and, you know, grief, loss, addiction, whatever. And then this process of coming to believe and making a commitment to then turning our lives over to this higher power, whatever it was that was working. And then these guys were just saying, hey, this is a miracle. And that's it. That was all they did. And
yes.
then very soon they started realizing, ouch, all this old stuff was coming up. All the old pain was
yeah.
coming up, all of that. And that's how they developed then the idea for the fourth step. We have to get it out. And so it's really, it was downloaded. It's a holistic system. And as you say, it's really identical to the wisdom paths that are the yoga path, the Chinese medicine path. They've been going for millennia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you and I, because we were tuned into our own grieving or whatever, we're very tuned into the fact that, wait a minute, I need to ground myself and also connect to the higher faculties through doing something physical as well. So the 12 steps were really just a downloading of this ancient system. And I
Absolutely.
Think it would be great if people could realize that. A lot of people become very rigid when they're working anything. And that's one of the downsides of addiction. We get into control,
mm-hmm.
trying to control our environment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention how I came up with the gateways. I really labored over this title.
Yes.
And it's an opening to the next level. Really, the way I saw it, and I couldn't figure out how to make this, how to explain this. So, but, you know, have you ever seen a lock where a big ship is coming into a body of water? And then it kind of levels out at that level, and then this lock fills up, something closes, and you go to another level.
Oh, yes.
So this big, giant ship goes up, 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 up,
mm-hmm.
and it can go forward again. That's how I was really envisioning this. It's kind of like filling in all of that support, all of that kind of whatever it is, supernatural support, psychic support, chi, you know, the chi, life force support, et cetera, and then we get to move forward. It's a great metaphor, isn't it?
It's a beautiful metaphor.
And I didn't know how to say the lock system. I think people would have thought, whatever the hell this is. So the gateway was an opening. But that's really how I came up with the idea, with the name and the method. And so it's available. It's called The Gateways, The Wisdom of 12-Step Spirituality. And this is really the important words in there are the wisdom and spirituality. I think the 12 steps as they exist are genius, but they're not enough for a lifetime path without additional tools.
Yes.
It's kind of like that. That's it. So I love for a person coming in brand new, trying to look at addiction. I think the 12 steps. Now, again, I think the 12 steps are a fantastic, timeless model. I think the culture of AA can be terribly destructive at times. So I'm not talking about the culture of the 12-step programs. I'm talking about utilizing the wisdom of the steps. Mm-hmm. And I think as we mature, as people who are in the field, we have to expose people to, you know, look, you don't have to tolerate that and go in and have somebody say, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. No. I mean, I would have been silent forever if somebody, I had listened to that. So anyway, so this is actually a method that's one that helps us to see ourselves as people who were really trying to find a way to be part of life. And
exactly.
It's called The Gateways, The Wisdom of 12-Step Spirituality, and it's available on Amazon. And I would love for everybody to buy it. I'm about to record an audio book too, because I'm hooked on those myself.
Oh,
so
great.
I think that would be great for people to listen to as well. So.
Yes. And how
anyway,
can they? How can people find you, Dr. Jane, if they want to learn more about you?
JaneGalloway.com. It's really simple. My publisher was smart enough to get me to get a website that was that simple.
Yes. That's so
Jane
great.
Galloway. JaneGalloway.com. GALLOWAY. And
well,
on there, you can kind of find all kinds of stuff, interviews and various ideas. So you can actually get in touch with me from that as well, too.
Oh, that's so great. And I just want to say, thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us today, Dr. Jane. This was so fun. You are a delight. You're certainly
as
the embodiment.
You.
Thank you. You're the embodiment of what you teach and what you've shared with us. And I am delighted to have had you with me today. And for our listeners, remember that you can hear us here on KCBQ on AM 1170, The Answer, Saturday and Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock on all major podcast platforms, 17 nationally syndicated radio stations across the country, iHeartRadio, iTunes, all of those platforms. And if for some reason you can't remember any of those, just ask Alexa. And also please check out our Change It Up Radio Facebook page and join the Change It Up Facebook group. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts about shows or what you'd like to hear more about on upcoming shows. So until we meet again, thank you for being with us and take good care. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Change It Up with Life Transitions expert, speaker, and best-selling author, Paula Shaw. Join the Change It Up movement with Paula Shaw every Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. as we explore topics that inspire, welcome change, and create a new kind of conversation. To learn more about Paula, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities, visit changeitupradio.com. Whether you're feeling happy, sad, mad, or glad, it never hurts to change it up.
Change.